In episode 15, our hosts Mitch Glenn and Brad Wiegman are visiting with Bassmaster Elite Series Pro Harvey Horn. Horn has been fishing the Bassmaster Elite Series for 2 years and won the 2018 Bass Open on the Arkansas River. The professional bass angler talks about his journey and life fishing as a pro. Tackle Time features Pico lures, tube insert jig heads, and how to rig them correctly. And now, broadcasting from deep in the heart of the Ozarks, your hosts, Mitch Glenn, owner of Pico Lures and national sales manager for major fishing companies, and Brad Wiegman, an outdoor writer, fishing guide, photographer, and social media content manager. Together, your hosts will cover everything from fishing for crappie, bass, and other game fish to interviewing renowned fishing guides and pros on the hottest lakes and rivers. Fishing Guide Podcast is sponsored by Pico Lures, founded in 1933. Legendary Pico Lures has a complete line of fishing tackle for any angler and all game fish. Pico's famous for its Pico Perch, Side Shad, Pop, Little Pop, and its crankbaits are the hottest crankbaits with 25 color patterns and growing. Pico's jig heads, soft plastic lures, and marabou jigs will fill your buckets and live well full of game fish. Pico also has an exclusive line of bass fishing jig heads. Several of these Pico jig heads feature the Easy Keeper Coil System. And now, here are your hosts, Mitch and Brad.
Welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast. I'm your host, Brad Wiegman, along with my co-host, Mitch Glenn.
Hey, Brad, we've got a local pro this week, Harvey Horn.
There you go. Harvey is actually from Bella Vista, Arkansas. How you doing today, Harvey?
I'm just great, gentlemen. How are y'all?
Man, we're wishing we were out there fishing.
Yeah, are you out fishing right now?
I am. I am over in Oklahoma on Grand Lake at the moment.
Oh man, I like
so
that.
So you're just going to make everyone mad and jealous right away, aren't you, Harvey?
Well, you know, might as well get it out of the way quick. That way you kind of have some time to settle down.
Yeah, I love that excuse. Everybody's got to be doing something sometime, right?
That's right.
Might as well go fishing.
When it's your job, though, well, that's different.
Yeah. Our job.
That's what they keep telling me.
Yeah.
There you go. You know, a little background on Harvey. Harvey has made 23 appearances in bass tournaments and then bass tournaments, BASS, 15 times in the money. He's got a first place finish in 2008 at the Bass Open that was on the Arkansas River. He has two top 10 finishes, and right now his career winning stands at over $113,000. So, Harvey, tell us, how did you end up fishing? What, you know, in the end, you're a professional angler, but how did it all start? Did it start at farm pond or a creek?
You know, my grandparents were avid fishermen, both my grandfather and grandmother, and, you know, following in their footsteps, we you know, always had a little small aluminum boat or a small wooden boat with a, you know, small motor. And we would go out on the lake that they lived on in South Arkansas. That pretty much got me started, you know, just following in their footsteps and doing all kind of fishing, you know, not just bass, but crappie and bluegill, ran trot lines for catfish and of course, yo-yos.
So you lived all of it. You lived in South Arkansas, but now you live up here in Northwest Arkansas?
I actually grew up in Monroe, Louisiana. My grandparents had a house on White Oak Lake in South Central Arkansas.
Okay.
Wow.
There's not a lot of distinction in the border down there.
Not really.
Are you implying, Mitch, there's no border between Louisiana and Arkansas?
Yeah, it's hard to tell exactly where it is.
Oh. I'm a
South Arkansas boy myself, all right?
So coming from that area of the country, we always think about shallow water fishermen, you know, the elite anglers that are shallow water fishermen. So is that what you like to fish? You like fishing that shallow water? And if you get deeper than what, say, like a power pole goes, you get kind of nervous?
You know, I really don't. And I, of course, I used to. When I first moved to Bella Vista 13 years ago, the clear water game was new to me. So it took a little time to get acquainted, to beaver and Table Rock and Bull Shoals, but through fishing those lakes, it gave me confidence in fishing out deep. So I'm not opposed to it now like I would have been, you know, say 10 years ago.
Right. What is?
I've learned that in the clearer water, the bass will swim a lot further to get a bait, so
they can actually see it.
Exactly.
And what's your favorite technique then?
You know, I do a little bit of everything. I'm comfortable with a drop shot in my hand, and I'm also comfortable, you know, flipping a jig in 2 foot of water. It's I've learned to be a lot more versatile because of the situation that I grew up fishing in Louisiana. You know, that's all we had. We'd go dob a jig or throw a spinnerbait, and that's about all we ever did. Once I moved to Arkansas, I was able to learn a lot from a lot of the guys that I fished with in our little local club.
Right.
Picked up a lot of tips and tricks from those guys and gave me a lot more confidence to get out there offshore and try to catch those fish.
Yeah, and you talked about a local club. Are you talking about Northwest Arkansas Bassmasters?
Yes, sir.
There you go. So I'm going to throw you a little history here, Harvey.
Yeah.
I was the president of Northwest Arkansas Bassmasters for a while.
I was, too, for about 7 years, but it was a little bit later.
Yeah, a little bit later. Yeah, well, you know how that goes. So, you know, coming from a small club, when did you, you know, what was your first tournament? When did you start fishing tournaments?
Oh, gosh, probably around 20 years ago, you know, the little local jackpots that we would have in Louisiana, me and a friend would go out and fish those as much as we could. And every now and then we would come into money. So it was a good learning point for me to fish that little stuff before I moved up and, you know, joined a club and started fishing the bigger events. It's you got to start small, and that's probably some of the best advice that I was given. You know, just take your time and start small and work your way up through the ranks. And you know, I started fishing Grand and Table Rock in a little 17-foot boat, and of course now I've graduated all the way up to the biggest, baddest 21-foot aluminum boat on the planet.
Right.
So
you did start off in an aluminum boat, and now you're still in an aluminum boat.
You know, that was part of me buying an Express 4 years ago. I felt comfortable with the aluminum. Right. It just gave me a comfort zone that I didn't have with a fiberglass boat. I can get in those backwaters and access the water that, you know, guys just probably wouldn't be comfortable going into on a fiberglass boat.
Those things are not exactly your grandpa's flat bottom, though, are they?
Not at all. You know, this is a high performance, fast, great ride. The total package between the Yamaha and the Humminbird Graphs, the Ultrex trolling motor, the C-deck material that even comes in them.
Right.
It's just a package that they've put together down there in Hot Springs at Express that is second to none on the market.
Well, tell us, let's go a little more in depth on aluminum boats and because there might be some misconceptions. What do you think some of the misconceptions are of driving an aluminum boat?
You know, the usually we write down a list of 20 questions that I get. You know, the first question, it's an aluminum boat, so it doesn't ride well. And that is completely false. These boats ride as good as any fiberglass boat on the market. The second is, it blows around in the wind. It's just as stable and solid in the wind as any other boat on the market. And of course, guys will think that, it's an aluminum boat. I cannot go fish out in the big water because the waves are too big. And that's just another statement that's completely false, because you can get out there and stand in those 3 or 4 foot waves just like you can in a big glass boat of any other brand.
Right.
And talking about waves, and what's the biggest waves you've had your boat out in?
Well, you know, I actually rode with Bill Lowen in on day two of the Winyah Bay event last year. Those are the biggest waves that I have been in a bass boat, period. I'm actually really glad that Bill was driving, because he's got a lot more experience with those big waves than I do. Uh-huh. But, you know, just through happenstance, I ran out of gas, and Bill swung by and picked me up, and we rode back in, and we got into some really big swells coming back into to the weigh-in site.
And so, and still focused on the aluminum boat, it's a package that Express has then?
It is. You know, they've got three or four different models in the X series boats. And what you get with the X series is their exclusive bass package. All the boats have the hyperlift hull, which is their hull design that will cut through those big waves and gets up on a pad and literally runs just like every other glass boat out there, or even better.
Yeah.
And how long a boat is yours?
Mine's 21.
21.
You know what the beam is on that?
I can't really tell you right off the top of my head. But I know I can lay down across the front deck and my feet don't touch and my head don't touch. Plenty of room up there to use it as a dance floor, or go flipping with two or three people, or just whatever you need to do.
Right.
What other elite anglers are also running, besides you and Bill Lowen, running Luneman boat?
Well, let's see, on just our Express team, you've got me and Bill and Dale Hightower from Oklahoma, Caleb Summerall from South Louisiana, and then I think there's two or three others that are running different brands of aluminum boats out there.
Yeah.
So it's getting to be more and more common.
It is. Guys are starting to realize the benefits far outweigh any of the negatives that they find. I haven't found any yet, but you know, we save money on towing because our boats are a lot lighter, and we get all of those other benefits from having aluminum. We can access shallower waters. We don't use as much fuel when we're riding around pre-fishing during the day. There's just so many benefits there that I'll never see myself in any other brand.
What's the cost difference in general? You know, what may be the cost difference between a 21-foot Express and, say, a 20-foot fiberglass boat?
You know, most of our dealers, they carry different brands of boats, and just kind of eyeballing it, you know, it's anywhere from $15,000 to $20,000 difference. The Expresses are that much cheaper.
Yep.
That means you can afford two.
That'll afford a lot of motel rooms to go places, won't it?
I was thinking a trolling motor and two graphs.
Yep.
$15,000.
There you go.
Yeah.
That gets you right.
We don't all have the same kind of graphs you got, Brad.
He making fun of my graphs, but I love electronics. And if I could do one thing, I'd just go teach people how to use their electronics. And
Harvey,
so
he don't even have to look at his electronics. He can turn it on, and it has smell-o-vision on it. He can smell fish on his graph.
You know, I'm getting to that point with mine now that I can almost smell them.
Yep.
But unfortunately, sometimes they're the wrong brand.
Yep.
Well, and the neighbors
caught two catfish this morning.
Oh, yeah. And see, the neighbors' cats, they like getting in my boat. So that's how good it smells.
Yeah.
yeah.
So are you pre-fishing for a tournament coming up?
You know, Anglers in Action and the Nichols events are on ground this weekend. And since we're still, you know, a couple, 3 weeks before I leave for UFAL in Alabama.
Right.
I figured it's a good chance to get over here and kind of get back in the swing of things.
Right. Because it's kind of a flow, huh, when you're fishing?
It is. You know, you try to try to get some momentum. The last two Elite Series events that I fished, I finished well, and the whole coronavirus deal hit us and kind of put me in a little bit of a lull time there. But hopefully we can go down to Alabama and continue on with our with the momentum that we gained through the event on 10 Killer last year, and then this spring on the St. John's River down in Florida.
So what do you do when you're not fishing? What's an average day for Harvey?
You know, I'm generally working with working on social media stuff, working with my partners, you know, getting them, trying to provide them with good quality content, and you know, just hanging out with the family, which is something that I haven't been able to do for the last couple of years. Is spend a lot of time at home with my family, my two children, and my wife, and those three wild dogs that we have.
You probably get near fill of kids, are you not, since they are not at school?
You know.
How's that homeschooling thing working?
Yeah, I raised both of my kids. I was fortunate enough to stay home with my kids, and I don't mind them. You know, they're both really good kids. They mind well for the most part, and that's a blessing for me that I know a lot of people wouldn't be able to tolerate their kids the amount of time that we've been through.
Well, there's plenty of time now with those kids. Some of them driving them a little crazy.
Yeah.
Are they? Yeah, do I've they like to fish?
You know, my son does. He's starting to pick up a little bit more on tournaments now. Uh-huh. My daughter, she's never had an interest in it for the most part. We're getting her ready to head off to college here in the next couple of months. So that's been something that's taken up quite a bit of our time of late.
Wow. So being an Arkansas boy, are you you think you're more comfortable fishing around like in Highland reservoirs and places like that, or do you draw back to that river fishing and that's what your strong point is? Because when you won the Bass Open in 2018, that was on the river.
You know, it was, and we never know going into an event. Am I on the right fish to win, or am I on the right fish just to finish in the money? That tournament was probably the toughest time that I've had in a long time pre-fishing. I spent a lot of time driving over. You know, I would drive over. It's only about a two-hour drive. I'd drive over, fish all day, and then drive home. And I never felt comfortable with anything I found until the very last day of practice. I never even got a five fish limit practicing. You know, I'd catch one or two fish, and they were good fish, you know, 3 to 5 pounders, but I just never could put together that five fish limit. And the last day of practice, I happened to go into an area that I hadn't been in, and I had five bites, and I just told myself, okay, if I can go up there and get five bites, I'll do okay. And just so happened, I went up there and caught 16 pounds on day one and was able to increase my weight each day. And the last day I weighed in 18. Yep. So, you know, I never felt like I had the fish to win. I just knew that I was in an area that I could catch five each day. And that was probably the most shocking thing to me, was actually winning without being able to say, okay, you know, I'm going to go catch 20 pounds today and win. I just wanted to go catch five, and that's what I, you know,
well, sometimes
kept
it just kind of sneaks up on you, doesn't it?
It does, and that was the situation there. I didn't think that I could win with anything else that I'd found. I just knew that I had the right bait in my hand to catch the bigger fish, and I just kept feeding to them. That's all right. I could really say.
Right. So that's a tournament that obviously is kind of in your element of strength. And you've become pretty proficient at this deep water stuff that we've got up here. I want to hear you told us a little bit. I grew up in South Arkansas, and I used a sculling paddle for a depth finder. So when you moved up here, what was some of the first things that went through your mind when you got, let's say, in Indian Creek on Beaver Lake or Bull Shoals. Now, tell me about Bull Shoals.
You know, I didn't know that trees would grow that deep.
Right. Yep. Okay.
You can go,
I understand, Harvey. The first time I went to Bull Shoals, I launched a Skeeter boat, and that thing looked over the edge, and it made me dizzy. I felt like I was looking off the top of a big, tall building because I could still see the ground.
I could count the rocks on the east end of Bull Shoals in 30 feet of water, and I didn't know that there was water that clear on the planet. It was very unique for me, and it took me quite a while to figure out how to catch the fish there.
Yeah,
but I understand. You know, it was just one of those deals where trial and error, and you know, just kept working at it until I figured out something they would eat. And the first tournament I fished on Bull Shoals was actually a Tyson event, and did okay. You know, we cashed a check, and the biggest spotted bass to this day that I've weighed in a tournament was that Tyson event, and it was 3.98 pounds.
Yep.
Wow.
That's
not a super giant, but that's a pretty darn big one.
It's respectable anywhere.
So in your travels, have you been able to go out like to California and fish, or is like New York the farthest place you've been?
New York so far has been the farthest we've traveled. In 2019, the Elite Series was slated to go to California, but they changed all, or no, 2018. They were slated to go to California. They changed all of that, but I wouldn't mind going out there. It's all of those fisheries seem to be challenging. They have some giant bass, and I would love to have the opportunity to go out there and see how I could stack up against the rest of the guys in the field on, say, the California Delta, or, you know, maybe Clear Lake, somewhere like that. Some place that's got some just true giants.
So I've been to Clear Lake. I went there and fished with some guides and some friends of mine, some pros. And so I got out there, and like my fourth cast, I catch like a 6-pounder, and I bow up, and I'm like, yeah, look at this. And I couldn't hardly get a guide to take a picture of me with my fish. They're like, wait, what do you want a picture of that for? What are you going to do with that? And I'm like, I'm like hours, I'm days away from my house.
Yeah.
And, they just kind of look at you funny.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. You know, like, yeah, we have the same thing down in Florida on the St. John's River. You know, I weighed in a 6-pounder the second day of the tournament, and it barely even raised an eyebrow from the crowd. That was an extremely tough event. There wasn't just a lot of great big fish weighed in, but tell you what, I was super proud of that thing.
Yeah.
There you go. So if people want to find out and follow you, where would they go on the internet?
You know, I've got Harvey Horn Fishing on Facebook. We're H3 Fishing on Instagram and Twitter. I've even started one of these TikTok pages now for whatever reason. It seems like the kids want to see us doing stuff. So I've even started one of those pages now. So any of the social media channels out there, you can follow us on, and I really appreciate it if you do.
All right. There you have it, man. It's great having you on. I appreciate it, Harvey.
Thanks, Harvey.
Yes, sir. Y'all have a good day.
Tackle Time is sponsored by Pico Lures, famous for the Pico Perch, Pop, Little Pop, Side Shads, Deep Diving Crankbait, Square Bill Crankbaits, Bass Jig Heads, and a complete line of fishing tackle for crappie and other game fish.
Hey, this week's Tackle Time, let's talk about tube insert heads, in particular the ones that you're using for your crappie tubes. Now, these heads are called a tube insert head because they're made to go inside the tube. I see people all the time, they're using these a variety of ways. The correct way to use one is to place it inside the tube. It doesn't tear your tube body up that way. So
What you need to do is size the tube appropriate for, or the jig head appropriate for what the water you're using. And a 16th ounce is, or even a 32nd ounce, gives your tube more action than an 8th ounce will. It kind of allows it to have that corkscrew sensation as it falls. So to rig one of these correctly, you can lick on the end of the tube, put a little fish oil on it. I like to squirt my tube head with slab sauce. Gives me two things. Makes the head slick, and it keeps that scent inside the tube dispersing all the time. So squirt you a little slab sauce on that tube. Hold the tube in one hand and just slide the line tie end of it into the tube. And when you got it all the way up there, just mash on the line tie, and it'll pop right out of that tube. And now you've got that thing as you've become like one lure. It's situated, it's rigged, it's weighted out perfectly, and your tube will last 5 times as long. Give that a try. It'll catch more fish for you.
Wow. Thanks for listening to the Fishing Guide Podcast this week. I tell you what, we had Harvey Horn on.
One of our local pros.
That's right, because we're Arkansas-based right here. And Harvey's been fishing a couple of years out there on the Bassmaster Elite Series, and that's a
great old big aluminum boat.
Oh, my. You got to be a good fisherman to fish against those guys.
Oh, jeez.
He actually won the 2018 Bass Open on the Arkansas River. So, right. He's running a big express boat.
21-footer.
So it's always good to hear the insight when people talk about boats and what the positives of a boat's, you know, what it is, and actually just kind of the cost too, because if you're looking for a boat, you know, you're looking to see what it costs. And I actually got to learn that Harvey moved up here to Northwest Arkansas from South Arkansas. Yep. So good to follow that. You can follow him on social media. Otherwise, it's a good show. So what you need to do is take a little time. This is the first time you're listening to the show, you want to subscribe, you know you can. You can follow the show, you know, leave us a rating. And
send us some suggestions. What do you want to hear about?
And it's all great. And for Mitch and myself, keep your hook sharp and lure in the water.